It's the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovias. We're outside PNC Arena. Game two, Stanley Cup playoffs between the Carolina Hurricanes and the New York Rangers comes your way in about 3 hours. But people are already hanging out. It's a hot one. But you know what? Get used to it because the Canes are going deep in the playoffs. I think it's been so long since we've got to experience something like this that we forgot, hey, if we're going all the way into June, it starts right now. Get used to the tailgating and the heat, baby. That's where we're at.
The breeze is nice out here. I'm not going to lie to you.
Breeze is nice for us. It's not so great for Sammy and Will, who've had to hold our tent down the entire time. We almost got impaled earlier.
It's a workout.
It is a workout. It is a workout today. Well, you'll hear from Rod Brindamore, head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes. Abby Labar, Bally Sports, will also drop on by ahead of tonight's game. Let's log on to the internet, shall we? What's Trending brought to you by Geico. You got a choice of ways that you can save on car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the Geico office nearest you. Let's get it.
Number five.
The golfers are golfing in the beautiful city of Tulsa, Oklahoma in the PGA Championship, Joe. And your favorite, JT, Justin Thomas, shot another 67 this morning. He has a one-shot lead over Will Zalatoris right now. Mito Pereira, two behind, as is Cameron Smith and Abraham Answer.
That's cool.
That's cool, but...
Yeah. Come on.
Tiger Woods is even today through eight holes. Let's see where the projected cut should be at six over, which would get him into the weekend. Let's see. Projected cut is plus four.
Oh, okay.
So if Woods remains even or better, he will make the cut and play this weekend.
How you feeling being on location and not in the studio where you could have been watching Tiger Woods?
Yeah, you know, I feel like my performance is better because of it. So it's a good thing.
You know, it is my lot in life to do radio shows with people who, when major golf is on and Tiger Woods is on the course, that they're super distracted. So in a way, it's a blessing that we're out here today because you cannot watch Tiger Woods do his thing.
It's not Tiger. You got to keep in mind, it's who I have
a
ticket for.
Well, that's true, too. You know what? That is a valid point.
Which would be Zally and Cameron Smith.
Yeah.
We have a close eye on both. And shout out to my boy, Joaquin Neiman.
Next up.
Number four.
So we are in the rubble, the smoldering wreckage of Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban. After Nick Saban earlier this week at an Alabama fundraiser, what was it, $1,000 a plate?
$1,000 a plate.
Woo! Basically said, look, hey guys, you don't want to have the number two recruiting class anymore. Well, step your game up. Texas A&M's buying players, like through name, image, and likeness. He wasn't accusing them of cheating. The thing is, there is no cheating. There are no rules. But Jimbo Fisher went hard in the paint. He had an impromptu press conference where he used God in a derogatory way to describe Nick Saban. What do you think, you're God? Called him a narcissist. Blew him up. Now everybody's making money off of it. That's where we are. My favorite part about all of this, though, is that the SEC decided to issue a reprimand of Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban. Paul Feinbaum earlier today on that reprimand and if it means anything.
Nothing. I mean, you got two guys here with a combined yearly income of $20 million. You have the most dominant figure in the game. You have one of the top five coaches in the game. And, I mean, the commissioner did all he can do. And it would be one thing if this was the first time, but this has already happened in this calendar year. And he's got a real problem. And not only does the commissioner have an issue there, these guys are going to be sitting in a room together for 2 days, the day after Memorial Day. And I talked to someone close to Jimbo Fisher yesterday, and I mentioned the SEC meeting coming up, and he said Saban's lucky they weren't in a room together yesterday because it would have gotten physical.
Oh, it would not have gotten physical. Stop it. This is such overblown crap. And how do I know that? Because everything is wrestling in 2022. For instance, here's Deion Sanders, Jackson State head coach. Deion Sanders and Deion basically took a stray from Nick Saban at this dinner that nobody's necessarily talking about. And Deion was asked whether or not Nick Saban's reached out to him, and Deion had an interesting response that will lead me to my larger point about this all being wrestling.
No, I haven't talked to Saban. I'm pretty sure he's tried to call him, but we need to talk publicly, not privately. What you said was public. That is not a private conversation. Let's talk publicly. Let everybody hear the conversation. Yeah, you can't do that publicly and then call private. No. But I still love him. I admire him. I respect him. He's the magna cum laude of college football, man. And that is going to be what it is, because that's what he's earned. That's just wrong. He took a left when he should have stayed, right? I'm sure he'll get back, of course. I ain't tripping. But I understand who it was for. It wasn't you. Coach Fisher. That was for his money.
So that was Deion Sanders responding to Nick Saban and basically saying, nah, you're going to have to talk to me in public. Now, why would Deion Sanders want to do that in public?
Make another show of it.
Make another show of it so he can get some notoriety out of this. You know who's making money off this right now? Alabama's making money off this because Nick Saban told a bunch of Alabama businessmen, step your collective, literally your collective game up. Texas A&M's also making money from this. How do I know? Because Ross Bjork, the AD at Texas A&M, did a podcast, a video episode with D1 Ticker. That's an industry publication. ADs, presidents, athletic administrators all read this publication, listen to their podcasts, etc. And Ross Bjork was like, wow, it's really motivated our fan base during our campaign. You could not have asked for a better situation. That's what Nick Saban allowed Jimbo Fisher to really kick off is, hey, screw these guys. Let's keep it going to tick them off. That's motivated everybody, and everybody's winning. Man babies, all of them.
Yeah, a lot of complaining and a lot of accusations that don't really mean anything, really, right?
No, they don't mean anything.
I mean,
well, it's something that it's
much
like,
ado, right?
It's interesting. Heather Dinich of ESPN was asked about Saban and Fisher, and she's using this to illustrate a point about the frustrations with name, image, and likeness.
This is an example of the frustration that has boiled over from name, image, and likeness. And I spoke to one Power 5 AD who said they were both wrong. I spoke to two SEC athletic directors who said this is not the place for our two highest profile coaches to throw jabs at each other. And I think one of the more revealing quotes that I got from another Power 5 AD outside of the SEC was, this makes for great theater, but this is an example of what concerns people behind the scenes who aren't talking about it.
That's Heather Dinich on this matter. And yeah, I mean, I get her point. There's a lot of frustrations behind the scenes, but I'm going to go with what Mike Bray, Notre Dame basketball coach, said at the ACC meetings. Adapt, guys. You make a lot of money. Adapt. Next up.
Number three.
Ross Colton scored with 4 seconds left in regulation.
That was nuts.
To give the Tampa Bay Lightning a 2-1 win and a 2-0 series lead over the number one seed Florida Panthers. Ross Colton with the goal, Joe. But you know who the star of the game was for the Lightning. 3 guesses. You won't need the second two. Andre Vasilevsky, 35 saves. Yeah. Outstanding again for the Lightning. Lightning have won this thing 2 years in a row. Vasilevsky's like, yeah, cool. You Panthers, you won 100 and bazillion points during the regular season? Awesome. Let's see what happens when we get to the playoffs. Vasilevsky goes into Florida, wins the first 2 games. They now have a 2-0 series lead. You want to be the favorite? You sure you want to be the favorite?
Hey, look, I've made what did we talk about in April, right?
You're right. When all of these teams were running hot.
When the Panthers were running hot in April and the Carolina Hurricanes looked like they were running on fumes and everybody was worried about what was going on, I was not making a big deal out of it. Mainly because we know through the history of hockey, just because you win the President's Trophy doesn't mean squat, number one. Number two, in the playoffs, things change. Teams get tight. Goaltending matters. And what do we know about Andre Vasilevsky?
He is that dude. Best in the world. And you know what, though, Joe? It wasn't just the Florida Panthers who were just gangbusters in March and April. Colorado Avalanche were, too. Number one seed out west. Their series is now tied 1-1 after losing last night 4-1 to the St. Louis Blues at home. That series will shift back to St. Louis now, with the Blues having the home ice advantage over the top seed in the Western Conference.
Next up.
Number two.
Adam Gold hosts the Kane's Corner podcast. You can find that wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Adam always crushing it on the morning after pods. He talks to Rod Brindamore, the head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes, before every game. Here's that conversation.
How much of game one was being off for 3 days and how much was the Rangers maybe executing a game plan?
I don't know. We won the game, so I'm pretty happy about that. I think at the end of the day, I feel like, it wasn't as bad as everyone made this out to be. We just didn't get doing a heck of a lot. It's not like we were terrible. It's just, they played a good game, and you got to give them credit, and then we played a good game, and you got to give us credit for that. And I think that's just kind of how that game went. You're not going to dominate a team in this time of year. Three periods, that's just very rare. So I thought, I think we were a little bit off, but I had a lot to do with them just, they played a really solid game.
I think I should have pared the question down to just the start of the game, but I did think that it was starting to turn in the second period. You really did not allow the Rangers too many opportunities in the second, and then the third looked maybe the other way. What maybe New York did to you guys, you did to the Rangers. Did you get a sense that toward the end of the second period it was starting to flip?
Well, we had a couple of good shifts at the end of the second and a couple of chances, and it started to look a little bit how we want to play. You're right. In the second period, we didn't really give up any scoring chances, so it wasn't terrible. It was just that first period we gave up 3 or 4 that we don't want to give up, and obviously, one ended up in our net, so that made it a little more difficult. So both teams are kind of trying to do the same things, get it out of your end and play in the other team's zone, and that's the goal.
There seems to be a narrative going around, and I don't know why, that there was no confidence in Antti Raanta in this role for him, that he might not have been as reliable. But all year long, Raanta has been excellent. The numbers say that. I haven't sensed any, question marks around the goaltending. Have you?
Not from us. I don't know where that came from. I think, he hasn't probably had the experience of it. So maybe that's what people are referring to, if that's your normal. But every time we've had to go to him, he's been good, and obviously this is a lot more magnified and a bigger situation, but he's actually been better when we've asked him to do a little more. So we need that to continue, obviously.
I found it very interesting after the game where he openly talked about, being in a position he'd never been in before, and not, not now, but going into it, wondering if he would be able. Is that honesty? Is that honesty somewhat refreshing? What does that say about him?
Yeah. No, I think that's exactly. That's 100% probably how anyone would feel if you haven't done that, or even had that opportunity. You're not sure how. You're certainly not sure how it's going to go. Obviously, he had this opportunity, and then he's taking advantage of it. And like I said, the last question. It's good that he's done it. Now he's got to keep doing it for us.
All right, he'll have that opportunity tonight. Does Sebastian or Tavo come to you and say, put us back together, coach, or do you go to them?
No, they never come to me. I mean, they both have, at various times when I've talked to them individually, they don't have to play with each other. It's like they're happy to play with other guys, and they know that it might benefit the team if they play with other guys. So, we know we can go back to them if we need to. They've had good games and good times and bad times too together. Mm-hmm. So it's really no different. It's just we know that there's a familiarity there between the two guys, and that's kind of what happened the other night.
Yeah, you said after the game it wasn't mixing the lines, that it was just a sense of desperation throughout the group that changed things. It is just very coincidental that Aho and Teravainen not only combined on the goal with a great pass from Jarvis, but also earlier in the period, there were a couple of really good scoring chances. I want to ask you about Ian Cole, not just the goal. The goal is what the goal was. It was sort of lucky and whatnot, but he makes a smart play anyway. But does his value go beyond, just the 14 or 15 minutes in the penalties that he kills?
Well, I think everybody's value does, right? They have more than maybe what, like you said, what the stats will show or, analytics will tell you, whatever. Like, the experience factor, being there before, done that, I think weighs a lot. Not the moment, certainly not gonna, you know, make it too big for him or anything like that. And then at this time of year, that kind of play that he brings, that steady, you know, accountability kind of play is what you need around at this time of year.
Yeah, he and Brendan Smith both exuded that. Even between periods, we saw a Brendan Smith interview where he was just mad at the way things were going. Do you watch other games? Have you checked out other series?
Yeah. The late ones that get me. I'm usually not up too late, but certainly the earlier ones, and you know, keeping tabs on mostly the East kind of conference games. But it's a fun time of year.
Do you watch with a scout, or do you watch for fun?
Well, that's a good question. Sometimes I catch myself watching it for fun, and I like it way better. And then sometimes I go, oh, man, I got to get my job going here. And then I start watching it, and it's not as fun. So definitely both ways, I guess.
Is Tampa putting on a master class on how to just play sound defensive hockey?
Well, I think they're putting on, you know, they playing how they do it, right? Like they play well, and then the power play takes over, and then they have a goalie that they know can stand on his head. I mean, that's kind of how they've done it over the years, in my opinion. It's defense, yes, but it's waiting for that power play, and then, you know, when they do mess up, they don't worry too much because, I mean, he is the best goalie in the world.
I mean, they have just choked Florida completely. They choked Toronto in Game 7 of that series. No changes for you tonight, correct?
Yeah, we'll keep it the same.
How is Jordan Martinook? Do you have to tie him down?
Yeah. He's now healthy, I think. I mean, he was obviously injured, and he'll get back in. I'm sure of it. It's just not tonight, I don't think.
Thank you very much. Good luck, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, buddy. Take care.
That's Rob Brindamore, head coach, Carolina Hurricanes, with Adam Gold. You can catch the Canes Corner podcast, where you'll get all sorts of insight from the locker room immediately after the game in a morning after pod that's brought to you by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Let's get to the top story of the day.
The number one story of the day.
We're number one. We're number one.
Tonight, Carolina Hurricanes and the New York Rangers. Game 2, 8 o'clock face-off. You can hear that game on 99.9 The Fan. Siren sounders for tonight will include Christian McCaffrey. Don't hurt yourself. Mike Glennon, our guy.
Mike G.
He'll also be on one of the sirens tonight as well. Looking forward to that. I would imagine that tonight's crowd might be a little bit more cantankerous based on what we saw Wednesday, especially if people are out tailgating. It's not until an 8 o'clock face-off. And so see, they remembered. We got you.
All you had to do was see the sacred word.
Now, you saw it on Twitter. Well, we will buy you a beer. So, no, we're serious. We'll go buy you a beer. So, yeah, this was a thing that we said we would do. If you come up to our tent and you said, what up, we'll go buy you a beer. It is what it is. So, speaking of, there you go. Go have it. So that's one of the things that I'll be interested in seeing tonight, because with an 8 o'clock face-off, more tailgating time, everything else, New York Rangers fans who are here seem to be in their feelings all of a sudden. They feel like they've been treated poorly already at PNC Arena, which I want to get to here in a second. Tonight, there's all sorts of factors. The most important thing is going to be on the ice. My guess is we'll see a continuation of what we saw on Wednesday night, where the Rangers are going to skate. The Canes are going to skate. Do not underestimate the Rangers getting back out there and stifling the Canes again. It's tough to sustain what the Canes did in the third period. It's just a matter that they did it, they didn't give up, and it paid off for them. We'll see how they bounce back tonight.
As usual, I think Rod is right. I think New York had the better first period, and they were the better team.
Yeah.
And you have to withstand that. And the way to do that is in part with the outstanding goaltending that they got from Ronta on Monday night. So instead of being down 3-0, as we've seen so many times during the regular season, the Canes would dominate a team. And they'd either be down 1-0 or up 1-0, and you're like, man, the Canes really just dominated them. They don't have much to show for it.
Well, that was New York on Monday night, up only 1-0 after that first period.
Yeah.
But you turn it around in the third period, the Canes dominated. Rangers just have to take that and say, all right, we see your best punch now. And understand, it's who can handle those sustained pushes, who gets more, and who capitalizes on their opportunities. That was a great individual play by Sebastian Aho to tie that game with 2 minutes and 30 seconds left on Wednesday night. Unbelievably timely individual play by Sebastian Aho, who, quite frankly, in these playoffs, other than game two in the first round of the series, he struggled some. It's been a bit of a struggle for him.
So, we're on the air. We're on the air. So we'll chat a bit. So when you're on the radio doing your thing, it's all good like that. So here's my thing. I'm going to look at what happened on Wednesday night optimistically. Basically, for me, the Canes found themselves stifled. They came out a little bit flat. Look, the Rangers deserve a ton of credit for the way they forced the Canes out into the perimeter, and they really couldn't get much of what they typically do going. But some of it also was on the Carolina Hurricanes being a little slow out of the gate, not starting on time, a bad turnover by Tony DeAngelo. But I'm going to look at this optimistically. Antti Raanta continues to grow and gain strength in that position. The more confidence he has, because after that one goal, he was absolutely outstanding the rest of the way. It easily could have been 5-0 Rangers. He kept them in it so that when it was time for the Canes to bounce back and work, they got the payoff and ended up winning it overtime. To me, that's the takeaway. They didn't let the first two periods get to them. They stuck to what they've known all season, the process, everything else, and the hard work paid off with the win.
But they should also feel like a little bit of house money, Joe.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Like, I thought that game was over. I'm not going to lie to you. A little bit behind the curtain here. I've been writing for WRALSportsFan.com. My story was written. I was ready to post.
It was done. I was headed down to get some post-game reaction, expecting, you know, sad Canes fans or frustrated Canes fans.
You know, fans after a loss is my specialty.
I've
been kind of waiting for that.
I know. You haven't had that chance yet because the series technically has not started.
Correct.
In fact, for the Carolina Hurricanes, the playoffs haven't started, if we're going to use the cliche. Maybe at some point it will. I hope it never does. One thing I did want to say, though, is about the fans tonight and what we saw go viral on Wednesday night with the Rangers fan and everything else. I do find it odd that there's a level of sensitivity from Rangers fans that I've seen in my mentions that I did not see from Boston fans.
That's fair.
There's a level of sensitivity that doesn't make sense to me. It's almost ironic that New York people...
Yeah, but the squeaky wheel gets the grease here, Joe. You're not talking about the people who are just like, yeah.
Well,
you're talking about like the one or two people who are like, oh my God, I can't believe they said bad things to me.
Where have you been?
Do you think they've actually ever been to a game at
Yankee
Stadium?
I want to know. Like, that's what I want to know. It. Like, how New York are you?
I doubt it.
How New York are you? You telling me that you went to Madison Square Garden to watch Rangers games and you got mad because some guy told you to go back to New York and you might have used a bad word?
Yeah.
Like, come on, I don't believe you. You're not really.
Told that if that was the equivalent of a racial?
It was told to me,
right,
through sources, that the Canes did receive a complaint that equated being from New York, like, oh, go back to New York, as though it was like racially motivated. Come on,
as the equivalent of telling a black man to go back to Africa.
Come on.
I don't see that.
No. What's wrong with you? I had a couple people in my mentions like, you should have seen what Canes fans said to me. And my response would be, well, did you alert security?
Sure.
Did you tell somebody about it? Because here's the thing that I'm not going to allow it. Because the Canes, PNC Arena Security does an excellent job.
Yes.
They do an absolutely fantastic job. I know this because we actually had an incident in the Boston series where we talked to a Boston fan who got into a fight with a Canes fan but wasn't kicked out.
He was stunned that he wasn't kicked out.
He's like, this never would have happened in the Garden.
Right.
At TD Garden. He's right, because A, Canes fans called out the bad Canes fan. Mm-hmm. He got the
policing. Yep.
And one Canes fan verified it when we actually talked to the guy. And I talked to security. They said the same thing. Like, yeah, no, the guy, we corroborated everything and everything played out. So a little credit to PNC Arena Security. If something bad's going on and they're alerted by it, they will take care of it. That's how PNC Arena Security works. So put a little respect on their name.